chanting the holy names, Doyal Nitai Chaitanya. Oh, my mind dances. Oh, my mind dances. Oh, my mind dances. Oh, such a wonderful personality as Nityananda Prabhu is not to be found anywhere. He suffers a beating from Jagai and Madhai and still gives them love of God. When your offenses are vanquished, you will obtain the treasure of love of God. But in these names of Chaitanya and Nitai, there is no consideration of offenses. Once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will come to an end. When there is attachment to the holy name of Krishna, then very easily the life of a living being becomes successful. Without affection for Krishna, life is simply useless. At the end of life, you will obtain the beautiful vision of Radha and Shyam in Vrindavan. If the mercy of Lord Gauranga is received. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings in this wonderful song his mind's desire. His prayer is that his mind may forever dance, singing the names of the all-merciful Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. When one develops a taste for chanting the holy names, all of the bondage of material existence is removed. Param drishtva nivartate. When we experience the spiritual taste of Krishna, his name, his form, his pastimes, his attributes, his holy abode, and even for the association of his devotees, that taste is so powerful. It is so purifying. Krishna Surya Samaya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. And all the illusions, Maya, which are the cause of all the sufferings of this world, are like darkness. Darkness can only exist to the extent the sun is not present. But when the sun rises, spontaneously, automatically, all darkness vanishes. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have given this joyful method of liberation from all suffering and elevation into the eternal pastimes of the Lord, through the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. But it is not by mechanically reciting the names that this result is achieved. It is by the mercy of the Lord. We must chant without offense. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they do not concern themselves, even if we have offenses. If they see we are earnest in our desire and we are sincere, then by their clear, causeless mercy, they reveal the pure holy name within our hearts. Therefore, the Lord told us, Trinadapi Sunichena Toror Iva Sahisnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari. If we want to please Him in our chanting, we must be sincere and earnest in our desire, in our practice, to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, eager to offer all respect to others, and not expect respect for oneself. When this sincere attitude is strived for within our life, and Krishna takes that desire seriously, really this means to be in the consciousness of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Then Krishna reveals His opulences within His name. Krishna is independent. The name of the Lord is like fire, and it will have an effect on anyone who comes near it. However, the Lord tells us in Gita that He reveals Himself according to how we approach. If we are sincerely and attentively chanting the holy names, trying to guard against the offenses, in this spirit of being humble, tolerant, respectful, servant, and we're striving for deeper and greater attachment for the holy name through our practice and through proper association and moral life, then the Lord will be pleased with us. The Lord will manifest the all-attractive opulences of Himself, His form, His pastimes, His abode, through the simple process of chanting the holy names. This is not something that we simply have faith on. This is a truth that has been repeatedly revealed within the scriptures and has been realized, experienced, and preached by great, great acharyas who are selfless, humble servants of all living beings. Can we possibly imagine that such great personalities as the Panchatattva, the Six Goswamis, Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti, such the stories of their lives, the incredible genius, sensitivity, and humility of their writings, when they are speaking these truths, it is real. It is what they are seeing. It is what they have realized. And it is all based on the Word of God and the Scriptures. No, they have no reason to mislead us. They're utterly detached people. They weren't trying to collect funds and trying to recruit people into their cult for such reasons. They gave up the greatest riches. They gave up millions and millions, crores of rupees equivalent, to live under trees, wearing loincloth, begging for some coarse flour, put Jamuna water, make it into a ball, and just throw it in fire. And that's all Sanatana Goswami ate from time to time. No, they didn't want anything from anyone. They simply wanted to give the greatest treasure of the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narottam Das Thakur was prince. He was meant to be the king. He renounced it to live as a simple, austere ascetic. He wrote his songs. He didn't get paid for anything. He wrote his songs simply to express his deepest gratitude for the gift of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to share it with the world. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he was a high person in the government. He had funds. He worked so hard, overtime, not taking anything. He was spending practically all of his funds just to give people the holy names and write wonderful literatures revealing the great treasure that is available for everyone and anyone. The treasure of Lord Chaitanya's mercy through his instructions, which culminate in chanting the holy name with simplicity and humility. So yes, we can have complete, absolute faith in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and in the power of the holy name. And our faith is more substantiated than practically any other subject matter, because it is based on eternal truth, revealed scripture, and the personal experience, realization of the greatest, most compassionate persons that ever lived, who wanted nothing except to serve. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world in the guise of his own devotee to teach people how to attain the essence of all perfection, pure, unmotivated, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya did not manifest his spiritual potencies in full in Navadvip. However, when he went on his tour to South India, he manifested these spiritual potencies, taking up from where we left off in our class this morning. Lord Nityananda Prabhu saw in Alalanath, where that very ancient famous deity of Lord Narayan is, he saw thousands and thousands of people ecstatically just forgetting their false egos altogether, drowning in the ocean of Harinam and Krishna praying by the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's enthusiasm to deliver them. This was part of the very attractive feature that melted Lord Chaitanya, that melted people's hearts in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First of all, there was the beauty of his transcendental form, which naturally awakens love from the very soul. He was very tall. His complexion was like molten gold. His eyes were like blooming lotus petals that extended almost to his ears. His nose was like the flower of the sesame. His lips were bright red like the bimba fruit. His teeth were like rows of precious pearls. His shoulders were broad, his chest was wide, his waist was thin. His long arms that extended beneath his knees were raised high. His head was shaven. He wore the saffron robes of a sannyasi. As he chanted the holy name so sweetly, torrents of tears, tears of love, flowed from his eyes. That beautiful form enchanted all beings who had the supreme fortune of witnessing him. Lord Chaitanya's inconceivable, unlimited enthusiasm to save them from the clutches of birth and death. Lord Chaitanya's unconditional love to give his love to them was like a tidal wave that simply overwhelmed them, overcame them. Thus, there were thousands upon thousands of people dancing blissfully in love of Krishna while chanting the holy names. And Nityananda Prabhu at that time predicted that in the future, by Lord Chaitanya's influence, this Sankirtan movement will fill people with love of God all over the world. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, was the first person in history to fulfill that prediction. One of my dear godbrothers, Vishnu Jana Swami Maharaj, inquired from Srila Prabhupada that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all-powerful. Why didn't he himself spread the holy names all over the world? And Srila Prabhupada, with great humility, he said, he could have done it, but he saved that service for me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When Lord Chaitanya departed from Alalanath to commence his South Indian tour, his devotees Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dat, Jagadananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and everyone else there, they actually fell unconscious. They couldn't bear the separation. Just like when a loved one leaves, usually we know where they're going, or at least we have some idea where they're going, and we have some means of communicating. Yes? Maybe through letter, or maybe through phone call, or maybe through email, or maybe just by hearing from others. But Lord Chaitanya, there's no record that he wrote any letters. There was no phones, there was no emails. He was going to travel to all the holy places in southern and western India for years. And there was no way to contact him or hear about his whereabouts. So it was very, very profound pangs of separation. They all fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya didn't even turn back to see them. He just walked forward like a maddened lion. However, in his heart, he was feeling as intense separation from his devotees as the devotees were feeling for him. Kala Krishna Das, his traveling companion, was walking behind him, carrying his water pot. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into an ecstatic mood of compassion for all suffering souls. He was so aggressively eager to give Krishna prema to everyone he would meet. Here he was with one little servant just traveling through the countryside. And wherever he went, he was loudly chanting the holy names in great ecstasy. Kaviraj Goswami tells us that he was particularly chanting a beautiful song in praise of Krishna. Krishna, 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 very loudly, please. Krishna, 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 hey. Louder, please. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Raksama. Krishna, 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 Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Sahana.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Whoever he would meet, he would request them with great humility and respect to chant the holy names. Irresistibly, these people would join along him in kirtan. And just by chanting these holy names in the presence of Sri Gauranga, ecstatic love of God awakened in their hearts. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with those people that he personally would embrace them with tears of love in his eyes. Then he would instruct them, now you go home to wherever you live and you induce other people to chant these holy names. Those persons were so spiritually surcharged with Lord Chaitanya's power, the power of love, that they would go back to their villages just intoxicated with love of God. And whoever they met, they shared this great gift with them. Please take the name of Krishna. Take the name of Krishna. And thus, the whole village was resounding with the tumultuous roar of the holy names. Then each member of the village, whoever he met, he would preach to them the glories of the holy name. And even if someone came to visit one of those villages, he became so enamored, intoxicated by the chanting of Harinam, he would go back to his village and be like the guru and induce everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. And seeing hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people become pure Vaishnavas, chanting Harinam day and night, Lord Chaitanya became very pleased. He would affectionately embrace whoever was following his instruction that he would see. This is something wonderful. Lord Chaitanya came to deliver Krishna Prema through Krishna Nam. Therefore, anyone who would accept his mercy became so very, very dear to him. In fact, the Lord and his devotees become overwhelmed with gratitude to any soul who just accepts the mercy that they're distributing. Because that is their life and soul. Thus, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he went, in the countrysides, in the villages, in the towns, everywhere, thousands, hundreds and thousands of people, their hearts were transformed and they became devotees. He came to the place called Kurmakshetra. There is a very ancient and famous deity of Lord Kurma at that place. There is a history that Sripad Ramanujacharya, one time he was in Jagannath Puri, and he saw that the pujaris of Jagannath's temple, they were worshipping in a very spontaneous way. Over the generations, the Jagannath temple had developed their own traditions and their own rules, or lack of rules. And Ramanujacharya was an acharya. He was trying to establish the very high authorized principles according to the shastras. So he was telling the pujaris that actually you can't do like this, you're supposed to do like this. And because he was such a great acharya, of course, they had to respect him. But that night in a dream, Lord Jagannath appeared to him and told him, "I like the way my servants are serving me. You can go somewhere else." And Jagannath threw Ramanujacharya. And when he woke up, he was in Kurmakshetra, just many hundreds of kilometers away. And he saw this beautiful Kurma. He saw this deity. A deity looked very different type of deity. So he thought it was Lord Shiva. So to honor and worship Lord Shiva, he began to fast. But then when it was revealed to him that it was Kurma, he had nice feast. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that very beautiful ancient temple. And like everywhere else he went, in front of the beautiful deity of Kurma Dev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance while chanting Hari Hari. And soon people started coming. They heard the sweetness of his voice. They saw the beauty of his form. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus-like eyes, filled with ambrosial love, glanced upon people. And just that glance alone induced them to enthusiastically chant the holy names. Soon there was all the villages around Kurmakshetra, everyone was coming to see this incredible sannyasi who had a beautiful golden form, who was beautiful as Krishna himself. And thousands of people were drowning in the tidal wave of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion, dancing with tears in their eyes, love in their heart, as they chanted the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Lord Chaitanya for hours and hours and hours was just dancing blissfully in the presence of all these simple village people. Then the priest of the temple of Kurma offered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu garland and prasad. One Brahmin, known as the Kurma Brahmin, invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to his home. Understanding the sincerity of his heart, he accepted the invitation. When he entered the home of Kurma Brahmin, the Kurma Brahmin washed the Lord's lotus feet with great love and care. Then he took that water that had fallen from the Lord's feet and drank it and shared it with all the members of his family. Everyone offered their respectful obeisances in great happiness. He offered a nice seat to the Lord and then offered him very wonderful prasad. After the Lord had completed his prasad, Kurma Brahmin distributed that maha prasad to all of his family members and ate it himself. Kurma Brahmin was so very, very pleased. With folded hands, he offered his prayer and appeal to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "I am so fortunate. I am so fortunate. Those two lotus feet that Lord Brahma is constantly meditating upon, trying to achieve, have now entered into my home. There is no limit to my good fortune. Today, my family, my birth, and my riches have been glorified because today you have accepted our service." Srila Prabhupada explains that this Kurma Brahmin was obviously a very rich man. Then the Kurma Brahmin continued. He said, "My dear Lord, please let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life." He wished to leave everything behind, his family, his home, his riches, his occupation, and travel with the Lord for the rest of his life. And he was sincere. Lord Chaitanya turned to him and said, "Do not ever speak like that again. It is better that you remain at home, perform your prescribed duties, and always chant the holy names of Krishna." And then the Lord recited a beautiful verse that is carved within the hearts of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesha maragoi guru haya tari desh. He told the Kurma Brahmin that there is no reason or need for you to go away from your home or to change the status of your life. Just always chant Krishna's name and instruct others about the teachings of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. In this way, you become guru and deliver the fallen souls. Lord Chaitanya said, "If you follow these instructions, remaining at home with wife, children, and occupation will create no obstacles in your spiritual life. If you follow these teachings, we will meet again very soon. In fact, I will always be with you. These were the teachings Lord Chaitanya gave to everyone he met through his years of traveling through South India. No need to change your ashram, no need to change your material setting. Simply always chant Hare Krishna and please the Lord by being a compassionate instrument, by teaching others the message of bhakti. And in this way, there will be no obstacles that will deter you from the path, and I will always be with you. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes stay at the home of a Brahmin and take prasad, but early in the next morning, he would depart to continue his travels. The next morning, as Lord Chaitanya was leaving the Kurma Brahmin, he couldn't resist. He left home and followed the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reminded him of yesterday's instructions and said, "Go back home." When he went home, he was simply meditating constantly on the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the instructions he had given him. Lord Chaitanya continued his journey. Nearby, there was a very great Brahmin whose name was Basudev. However, he had contracted a very severe and advanced state of leprosy. The sores, the blood, the pus was all over his body. In fact, the leprosy was so decaying his flesh that there were unlimited living worms that were eating away his body. But Basudev was such a selfless, compassionate Vaishnav that if any one of those worms would fall from his body, he wouldn't step on it to crush it so it wouldn't come back. He wasn't taking medications to kill the worms. If one worm would fall from his body, he would very humbly and respectfully pick that worm up and place it back from where it had fallen from. For a medical doctor, it would appear like he's fanatic. But a Vaishnav cannot be understood very easily. It was actually the state of his heart. He was so humble. He felt that the worms had as much right, if not more, to live in the body that he was in as he did. Because after all, the body is just a house, and the soul is living in the house. And here so many other souls are taking shelter of this house. Who am I? They have every right. That was his humility. He was seeing even the worm as a child of God, part and parcel of Krishna. He was seeing these little worms, which to us are so disgusting and antagonizing. He was seeing them like loving brothers and sisters, wanting to share his body with them. It's like we recently heard a nice story of Srila Prabhupada, where there was a little insect, and Prabhupada was looking at that insect in his room. He said to his servant, "Do you see that?" And the servant was going, "No, you don't see that?" He was just staring at this little insect with such tear-filled eyes. And he pointed to this tiny little insect. He told his servant, "He's in this room, he's lost, and he's hungry. Carefully pick him up and put him on that leaf outside the window so he can eat nicely." That is the nature of a self-realized soul. That they actually feel compassion for every living entity. Because they see the soul is part of God. Whether it's in the body of a tree or a worm or an animal or a human being. So yes, this was the nature of Vasudev's humility and compassion. He heard that Lord Chaitanya was at the house of the Kurma Brahman. And as fast as his crippled, diseased legs could move, he went to that house. It was the opportunity of his life. His worshipable Lord, who had incarnated in this world, had come. When he arrived, he received the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left so many hours before. He fell unconscious in despair that he missed the darshan of the Lord of his life. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrite shirjuna tishtati. Sarvasya pridhams. Krishna understands the heart of every living being. He is within the heart of every living being. He knew the desire of this simple beggar leper, Vasudev. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya turned around, changed the whole course of his journey to come back to the Kurma Brahman's house. He saw Vasudev, who just rose from his unconsciousness and in a very, very depressed state. He was despondently weeping in separation. And suddenly Vasudev saw that effulgent, resplendent, golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu standing before him. Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him with his loving arms. When the Lord embraced Vasudev, all of Vasudev's despair disappeared, as well as his disease. In the embrace of the Lord, Vasudev's body became effulgent, youthful, beautiful, and healthy. The leprosy disappeared. Vasudev's happiness knew no bounds. Then he offered a beautiful prayer to Lord Chaitanya. He said that he quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam the prayers that Sudama Vipra offered to Lord Krishna. "Who am I, a sinful, poor friend of a Brahmin? And who are you, the all-opulent, supreme personality of Godhead. And yet, you have touched me. You have embraced me. Vasudev continued. He said, my body is so abominable that the odors emitting from my body are so terrible that no human being is willing to even come near me in fear of contamination. And you, out of your mercy, have embraced me. Therefore, I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are all merciful to fallen, degraded souls like myself. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very pleased with Vasudev. But Vasudev in his heart had a very serious worry. He was worried that I will become proud. The Lord has shown such mercy that He cured me of an incurable disease. Now for a devotee, there is no disease more feared than false pride. The good side of leprosy is it makes you very humble, at least potentially. Of course, amongst lepers, there's probably much competition. That's the way pride is. But when you receive the special mercy of the Lord, when you're specially empowered by the Lord, the tendency is to become proud. And as the Christian Saint Paul warned us, pride cometh before the fall. Actually, for a Vaishnav, as soon as pride enters the house and is in the heart and is unchecked, we're already in a fallen state. And what comes later is really just the details. Because when we're humble, we're taking shelter of the Lord and the Lord protects us. But when we're proud, we inevitably will think ourselves better than others, and then we will commit offenses to others. And when we commit offenses to others, the Lord withdraws His protective potency. And then it's us against Maya. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mami vami papadyante maya meta tarantite. Maya is all powerful. Srila Prabhupada explains Maya is Krishna's external energy. No jivatma, no infinitesimal particle of spiritual spark can compete against Maya. Very difficult to overcome. These three modes of material nature are like ropes that keep us bound to the repetition of birth and death. The only way we can possibly overcome Maya is if we surrender to Krishna. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Because Krishna is the director, the controller of Maya. But to surrender, to take shelter, the basic quality that is required is humility. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that simplicity and humility are actually the beginning of our real spiritual lives. Tadvedi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatvadarshana. Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, you must approach Guru. But then he tells how. First, you must submit yourself. Then you must inquire submissively, and then be willing to humble yourself to the position of being a servant and render service. Then our hearts are receptive to the absolute truth. And then the spiritual master can reveal the truth to us. So humility is very important. So to the degree we're really serious about making spiritual progress, we will have this attitude. We should be afraid of false pride. It's a worse disease than AIDS, cancer, or leprosy. Yes? See it there? How is that? Because all of these physical diseases, they separate you from the body. But that's inevitable. You're going to be separated from the body in due course of time. But false pride separates you from Krishna. So tell me, which is a worse predicament? To be separated from your body a little earlier than you will be inevitably, or to be separated from Krishna? And that separation may be millions of births till you ever regain it. So Vasudeva was very worried that although he was cured of the germ of leprosy, now I have received such special mercy that nobody else has received. I might become proud. I might think I'm better than someone. Previously, he didn't even think he was better than a worm. Now I might think I'm great. And then my bhakti will be spoiled. Krishna will not be pleased with my service. That is what he was thinking. Therefore the Lord assured him. He said, Vasudev, always chant the name of Krishna. And whenever possible, instruct people about the teachings of Lord Krishna and the glories of His name. And if you do this, pride will never enter into your heart. He gave that same instruction. After delivering Vasudev, Lord Chaitanya became known as Vasudev Amrita Prada, one who delivered nectar to Vasudev. And then he continued on with his journey. Kurma Brahman and Vasudev, they simply embraced one another after the Lord left. And for days after that, all they could do is in ecstatic, loving friendship with each other, discuss the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy upon them. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the area which is today called Vishakhapatnam, on a hill called Singhachalam. There is an ancient temple of Jiyada Narasingha. This is a very ancient place. Actually, in the Satya Yuga, when Hiranyakashipu was trying through so many means to murder his little 5-year-old son, Prahlad, at that place, he threw Prahlad in the ocean and then tried to put a mountain on top of him so he couldn't get out. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of Varaha Narsingha, appeared and protected Prahlad. Why? Because Prahlad was, with all humility, totally depending on the mercy of the Lord, remembering Him and chanting His names. Later on, after Hiranyakashipu was given a very successful surgical operation by Lord Narasingha Dev, Prahlad Maharaj was installed as the king. And he came back to that place. And there he worshipped the deity of Varaha Nrsingha. And since that time at Singhachalam, that is one of the most, very most important of all murtis of Narasingha Dev in all the world, in all the creation. In fact, that deity is so angry at Hiranyakashipu and the injustices to Prahlad. Even so many years later, he's still angry. This is his lila. That since time immemorial, the pujaris cover his entire body with chandan or sandalwood pulp. Completely cover. To keep him cool. And they just keep putting it on him. And as the years goes by, if when you go to the temple, there's just like a big mountain of chandan with a big tilak, and they dress the chandan mountain with beautiful garlands and garments. And only once a year, on an Ekadasi, Akshada Ekadasi, they take the chandan off him, only one time a year, for one day. And hundreds and thousands of people come for that darshan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to that temple. And in that beautiful surrounding, in the presence of Lord Narasingha Dev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance in ecstasy. And he sang the glories of Narasingha Dev. You all know that song they sing in Mayapur? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang that. Sing Sri Narasingha, Jaya Narasingha, Jaya Jaya Narasingha, Praladesha, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa. That's all he sang, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. He began to pray that Lord Narasingha Dev is like a female lioness. If anyone tries to disturb her little baby cub, she is ferocious as death personified. But to her cub, she's very gentle and kind and loving. Similarly to Hiranyakashipu, Narasingha Dev was cruel death personified. But to Prahlad, he was most affectionate, mild, and kind. The Lord was meditating on how the personality of Godhead is so kind and affectionate to protect those devotees who exclusively depend on His mercy as their only shelter in life. We discussed this morning how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya appealed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet with Ramananda Rai in Vidyanagar. He said that previously I made fun of him because he was a Vaishnava. But now that I have attained your mercy, I can understand there is no one like him. How learned and how deep is his spiritual realizations. Please meet him. You will find great satisfaction in each other's company. In the area of Vidyanagar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the holy river Godavari. There he took note that the river Godavari looked just like the Yamuna. And then he looked along the bank of the river and he saw the forest as non-different than the forest of Vrindavan. In great ecstasy, he crossed the river, took his bath, and then sat in a secluded place. After some minutes, a procession approached the river. There were many, many Brahmins chanting Vedic mantras. And on a palanquin was the governor of the province, Srila Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai, with Brahmins chanting mantras, came off the palanquin and performed his rituals and took his bath. Lord Chaitanya was very impatient in his heart. He wanted to run and embrace him. However, he maintained his composure. Ramananda Rai saw this beautiful golden form which was radiating light. He was so attracted. Immediately he came before the Lord and offered his prostrated obeisances. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Are you Ramananda Rai?" And Ramananda Rai replied, I am your very lowly, fallen, sinful servant. I am a low-class person of the Suja community." This is how he introduced himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Ramananda Rai reciprocated and embraced the Lord. As they embraced each other, they were overwhelmed with ecstatic love. They both fell to the ground, almost unconscious. There were tears pouring from their eyes. Their complexions became pale. Their hairs were standing on end. Their voices were choked up. All they could say was Krishna, 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 and their limbs were trembling. They were overwhelmed with ecstasy to meet one another. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas explain that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Sri Ramananda Rai is the incarnation of the intimate maidservant Vishakha. Vishakha Gopi. This was their first meeting in this world, in this incarnation. Their love for one another was manifesting in extraordinary ways. While they were going through this ecstatic reciprocation, the smarta Brahmins around them were completely confused. They didn't know what to think. They were discussing amongst each other that here is this sannyasi who has such a beautiful form. He's obviously an exalted personality. Why is this sannyasi weeping and crying upon touching a sudra? And Ramananda Rai, he's a Mahapandit. He's a big politician. He's a governor. Why is he weeping and crying, touching this sannyasi? They couldn't understand. So Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai, seeing this, they somehow or other controlled their emotions and became peaceful. Because actually, symptoms of spiritual ecstasy are not to be revealed before the eyes of ordinary people who cannot deeply appreciate and understand them. Sometimes a class of people called sahajiyas, they even imitate spiritual ecstasies just to attract people to follow them, to make disciples. But great personalities, they are very careful to try to conceal their ecstatic feelings of love. Because those ecstatic feelings of love are meant to be offered to Krishna privately in the heart. They are not meant to show to the world, to the eyes of ordinary people, who will simply either be materially attracted or bewildered. Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Rai that I have, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told me all about your glories and qualities, and I have come here to meet you. Out of his kindness to me, we are now meeting today. And Ramananda Rai replied, my Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is so merciful to me, who is a very fallen soul, his servant, that even from a distant place he's trying to deliver me. Actually, it is only due to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's love for you that you're willing to touch me, who am untouchable. I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come to deliver me. And look around. All of my procession, thousands of men, their hairs are standing on end, and they're crying in spiritual happiness upon seeing you. What a great wonder! And Lord Chaitanya said, no, they are crying in ecstasy because they have touched you. Their hearts have melted. Actually, I am nothing more than a Mayavadi sannyasi. But by your mercy, I am now floating in attraction to Krishna simply by touching you. In this way, great Vaishnavas do not compete to try to show who's better than the other. Great Vaishnavas, their competition is trying to humble themselves and glorify the other. Tonight we have Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj and Shyam Sundar Prabhu. Such wonderful personalities. One of the most intimate, loving servitors of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had such love and trust. He had Shyam Sundar writing his letters for him. He would just give a few words and say, you write the rest. And Shyam Sundar could actually feel Prabhupada just manifesting through him. It wasn't him. He was an empowered instrument of Prabhupada's mercy. Of so many hundreds of devotees, thousands of devotees, Prabhupada chose him as his secretary to travel around the world for years with. And how he empowered him to do supernatural acts of devotion. And we have Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj. See, this little baby is chanting your glories. Even through persecution and great hardship, he remained steady and firm. And because of his humility, his dedication, his eagerness to really, really help other devotees, help fallen souls, Krishna is empowering him to perform incredible services. Last night we saw the wonderful temple that will be built in the heart of Moscow. This is just a small glimpse of the reciprocation that Krishna is sharing with Goswami Maharaj and the other devotees of Russia. Simply wonderful. This is the beauty of Vaishnav life. In materialistic society, people like to put other people down, criticize about people, and gossip about people. And ultimately, the reason people do that is to somehow or other make themselves feel like they're better and give the image in other people's eyes that I am better. Yes? But this prajalpa, this idle gossip, this criticizing of others is actually distasteful. It's horrible, disgusting experience for a Vaishnav. But it's like nectar for a conditioned soul. Bhagavatam describes that the crows, they love the juicy taste of refuge and garbage. Have you seen? But the swans, you'll never ever see a swan in a sewage area. They just have no attraction. The swans will gather together wherever there are lotus flowers, and they will drink the nectar from the stem of the lotus flower. So do we want to be like crows, finding faults in others and talking about so many materialistic gossip? Or do we want to be swans and see the good in the Vaishnavas, glorify their qualities? Because when we have that disposition, Krishna is very pleased, and he will actually give us a taste for chanting his holy name. So Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya were sharing their great appreciation for one another and humbling each other, humbling themselves. This is Vaishnav culture. Now Brahman came to the place then and invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai decided that night they would meet to discuss the subject of Krishna consciousness. And although it's night now, we have to end this discussion on Krishna consciousness, because tomorrow is Gaur Purnima and everyone should be very much awake and alive. And if you are very fortunate, you may even come for Mangal Arti on this auspicious day of Sri Gaur Purnima. Would you like to speak something for a few minutes? We invite Goswami Maharaj to speak for a few minutes, and then we will have kirtan, and we'll end by 10 to 10. So you can take prasad, return to your homes, and then you are welcome to come tomorrow for Mangal Arti. It's just now coming. Just say something and let us see. No, it's very nice. That sound, the microphone does not speak in the Russian language, so you may not understand.
Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanabhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yes, Maharaj told me that I don't have to speak. But today he put me. And it's very difficult to speak after His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. But I wanted to tell you one story, which is one of my favorite. And it's actually very much connected with what Maharaj was talking tonight. This story is recorded by Govindadas in his Kadacha. And this is the story from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's journey from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri. It is said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling with his companions to Jagannath Puri, the desire in his heart to see Lord Jagannath was so great that he couldn't see anything around him. He was just so eager to see Lord Jagannath that sometimes he would leave behind his companions. The four of his companions, they couldn't really make it to be with him on par. So he would run, and they would be some distance behind. It is said that his arms were raised and his beautiful eyes were also staring at the sky, and he was chanting the holy names and he was thinking about Lord Jagannath. And in this way he was passing by like a kid, like a child. Sometimes the children, they play kites?
Kites?
Yeah. When they have this, you know, flying stuff. And their eyes are there in the sky. So Lord Chaitanya, he was running like a child with his eyes and with his arms up in the air. And they were running by the road, and all of a sudden he was passing by a small village. And in the pond, in this small village, there was a washerman, Dhobi. And this Dhobi, on the contrary, Lord Chaitanya was looking in the sky and his consciousness was up there. And the consciousness of this Dhobi was down there. He was just... There was the stone and, you know, all his consciousness was completely absorbed into this... quite a stupid process of, you know, and Lord Chaitanya, even though he was totally oblivious of the water around him, somehow or other, because of his mission which was there in his heart, he noticed this Dhobi, and the great compassion entered into his heart, and he was thinking how this poor Dhobi is wasting his rare human life by just doing just for a few paisa every day. So Lord Chaitanya, even though the time of his great mission, preaching mission, didn't start yet, but he decided to deliver him. He decided to try. It was a little sample, the experiment which he did before his South Indian tour. So all of a sudden he ran towards this Dhobi, and he approached this Dhobi, and in a very humble way he kneeled down to this Dhobi. And the Dhobi, he saw the orange clothes, and he knew that all these people who wear orange clothes, they have strange ideas, and usually they're beggars, right? And somehow or other he decided not to notice this sannyasi. So this sannyasi was trying, you know, from this side and from that side, but Dhobi was... So Lord Chaitanya, he knocked at him, he touched him, and he said, you know, could you please do something for me? He said, no. I'm too busy. Chaitanya said, could you do me a little favor? And immediately he thought, you know, now he will start begging from me something. You know. Lord Chaitanya said, could you say Hari? And he said, no, no. Because his thinking was, you know, I say now Hari, and then he will ask for money. Because all these sannyasis, they are very tricky. You know, you know, sometimes you go to Vrindavan and people say, you know, would you like to do some puja to this holy lake of Radhakund? You know, and you already know, and you know, you cannot say, no, I don't want to do puja. But you know that their intention is just to get money from you. So this Dobi, he was firm. He didn't want to, you know, be tricked by this sannyasi. So Lord Chaitanya was begging him, could you please chant Hari? He said, no, 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 I cannot. But then, you know, he felt bad that he is refusing this sannyasi. So he, glorious excuse came to his mind. And he said, I'm too busy. I have to wash these clothes. And if I waste my time chanting Hari, then I will not earn enough money. So I cannot chant Hari. You know, you chant Hari. You are anyway idle person, you know, who's not doing anything. I'm busy. You know, does it sound like familiar to you? You know, sometimes people say, you know, what are you doing? You're just wasting your time. We're busy. We're doing something serious. So this Dobi was in this position, you know. He said, I'm busy. I don't have time to chant Hari. Then Lord Chaitanya, what he said to him, I will wash this clothes. You will not waste your time. I will wash clothes for you. You please chant Hari. And Lord Chaitanya, he's a Brahmana. And Dobi is the lowest position in the society. They're not supposed to be in a high elevated position. And Lord Chaitanya was ready to do this job of the Dobi, of the washerman. And this washerman, he felt very much, you know, ashamed. And he felt bad. And he said, okay, I will say once, only once, Hari. And then I will continue my job, because it's very important. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, please. So he said, Hari. And Lord Chaitanya said, could you say once more? And Dobi looked at him for the first time, and he saw the beautiful eyes of Lord Chaitanya and his beautiful face. And he was so enchanted by his appearance that he couldn't resist. He again said, Hari. And Lord Chaitanya said, please, say it for the third time. And Dobi said, Hari. And when he said for the third time, Hari, something entered into his heart. He couldn't understand what's happening with his heart. His hair stand on end, his eyes were filled with tears, and he started chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. And he forgot all about his job, all about his family, all about everything. He started dancing like a madman, and he was chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. And Lord Chaitanya, he liked it. It worked. So he sat down under the tree, and he was watching this beautiful scene, this Dobi, you know. He was totally transformed. He was chanting with the raised arms, and he was, you know, yelling, Hari, 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 Hari. And very soon, a few minutes after that, his wife came. The arrangement was that not to waste the time for the lunch, so the wife would come to him with the lunch. And the wife came with the lunch bag, and the wife saw her husband dancing like a madman. And the husband was chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari. And the wife looked at the husband and said, Ma, I didn't know that you're a dancer. I didn't know that you can do these things. And this was something new, a new feature of her husband. So, but the husband didn't hear her voice. Usually he was quite alert. Whatever she would say, he would react. But this time he couldn't hear her voice. So the wife, she approached closer because something was strange. And she looked in the eyes of her husband, and the eyes were like a glass. You know, she didn't see the husband in the eyes. You know, he was gone. He wasn't there. He was just chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari. But the eyes was like, you know, he was in samadhi. So the wife, she thought some ghost entered his body. And she became really fearful. She ran to the village and she started knocking at the doors of her neighbors and begging them, please save my husband. The ghost possessed the body of my husband. My husband has gone mad. He's chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. And very soon the whole village, you know, like it is in India, when something is happening, very soon the whole village is there. So the whole village ran, and Lord Chaitanya, he's sitting, hiding somewhere under the tree, looking at the scene. So the whole village is watching. And this poor Dodi, he doesn't see anything. He's just chanting. And his hair stand on end, and his body is trembling. So the whole village is watching from some distance because they're a little afraid. And then one of the neighbors, the friend of this Dobby, he decided to save him. So very carefully he approached this Dobby and he touched his body. And when he touched his body, something strange happened with him. His hair stand on end, his eyes were filled with tears, and he started chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari. And he ran towards the villagers and he started touching every one of them. And every one of them very soon started dancing like a madman. Hari, Hari, Hari. And all the companions of Lord Chaitanya, they came and they watched the scene. You know, the whole village is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Lord Chaitanya said, very good, very good. So this is how he tested his mission. This is how he tested the potency of the holy name. And this is how he started his preaching of the holy name. Thank you very much.
Very good. Please touch me, Maharaj. With that inspiration, let us chant Hari Hari. Actually, earlier today, the father of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu passed from this world. Very fortunate. Just a couple weeks ago, he came and attended the Mayapur Yatra, sincerely chanting and worshipping the Lord in Sri Mayapur Dham. And today, Krishna, certainly is elevating his soul to a very auspicious place. So let us, in honor of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, dedicate this kirtan in gratitude for the father of this wonderful devotee. Please rise.